Most bankers aren't ready to help you until after their third cup of coffee. But with Central National Bank's after-hours service, you don't have to wait for the bank lobby to open to get help. You can contact us from 6 to 8:30 in the morning or from 5 to 10 in the evening, and we'll connect you to a real, live, local person who can answer questions and fix problems 7 days a week. Bank different. Bank Central. Central National Bank. Member FDIC.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is a Rogue Media Network podcast. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. What's the first thing you'd do if you had an extra hour in your day? Go for a run, take a nap, read a book, show up for a friend? A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find out what matters to you, so you can do more of it. Therapy is helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/365 today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/365.
This is 365 Sports, powered by Sikkim365.com.
Josh Neighbors, Big 12 watch over on Crystal Ball College Football, a YouTube station, a channel under our umbrella that he's doing a fantastic job with. Just a fantastic job with, and doing his podcast every day. And Josh, it is Big 12 tournament time, and the top four seeds have advanced. That's where we are. We had a little bit of interesting first couple days, but so far it's gone chalk. Who can benefit, in your opinion, the most from the next 2 days?
It's a great question. Also, Paul, it's nice to be with you. I agree. I am doing a great job. I'll tell you what, though, like, this is like the busiest time of year, you know, for those of us who are also involved in high school sports, high school state championships happening, conference tournaments, and in college sports, too. I live in Arkansas, so baseball is a big deal, especially when basketball sucks. So that's been crazy. And then, Paul, I know it's spring because whenever the weather changes, whatever happens inside of me is like, hey, your voice will go. So, switching the clocks back, and then also my voice going are the two signs the seasons are changing. So who could benefit the most here? It's a great question. Like, Houston's a one, and I think they might be the number one overall. I think there's a big conversation about who's the best team. And I think Purdue, big loss today. Braden Smith, I haven't seen any update, but he goes down for Purdue. It's huge. And UConn are kind of the two consensus. I think Houston belongs in that conversation. But they're number one. Iowa State, two and three, I mean, the two is there for them. I think they could definitely be a two seed. for sure. Texas Tech, yeah, I think could definitely move. I think they could too, and I think Baylor could move too. But I think Tech, you know, there is more doubt about Tech, and you played Houston, and so I mean that's a big chance to make a leap, a jump, and if you beat a Houston and then either an Iowa State or a Baylor in consecutive days, on top of what they did to BYU, I mean three tournament teams consecutively, yeah, they could definitely help themselves. So I would say Texas Tech can make the biggest jump. Iowa State can solidify. Baylor can jump a little bit, but Tech is the kind of the most ground they could cover, in my opinion.
Yeah, Baylor could certainly wind up on the two line if they win this thing. I think so. I think they could be there, especially given the wins they've had down the stretch and the fact that, you know, outside of a couple games all year, Baylor's not been blown out. Like they're masters at getting beat late or in overtime or just by three, like right at the end. Like that's
yes.
That like this. If not for, you know, missing shots and taking some bad shots against Kansas late in that game and, you know, kind of ease Misi missing an opportunity to take the lead at the end of the Houston game in regulation, like they could have been in contention for the one seed in this tournament. Now, they're dealing with something for the first time as a team that I'm wondering if has gotten in their ears. I don't think there's anything to it substantially as far as him actually leaving, but look, the fans at Louisville want Scott Drew. That's who they want to rebuild their program. They just built him a stadium here. I don't think it's going to happen. But I do think that sometimes that noise can get in people's ears. But he's a very trustworthy guy. If he assures the team he's not going anywhere, I know he hopefully will leverage it to get everything he wants here at Baylor. But still kind of an interesting thing hanging over Baylor, which even with all Scott Drew's success has never really come up before.
Yeah, it's interesting. So it's funny enough, I mentioned me being in Arkansas. This is something that they're dealing with right now, too. The one big difference there, obviously, is that Eric Musselman in Arkansas did not have a good season, but he has been a winner. Yeah, I mean, I think Scott Drew would be a massive dream hire for Louisville. I think the one thing that the reason why I could see him doing it is like just if he wants a change of scenery, but Baylor embodies a whole lot of what Scott Drew is about. Values wise. And I mean, this thing is his baby. Like this program is totally and completely his, right? And at Louisville, it is yours, but when you have history, like Louisville has, like you are a part of that. But like this legacy, I mean, Baylor's basketball legacy, at least, you know, Paul, you correct me if I'm wrong. As far as I'm concerned, like it starts and pretty much ends with
Scott Drew. I mean, like this is his program. Like it's never not going to be his as long as he's like alive. Right?
Right.
Like, so it's his. He built it. So you can argue about maybe other sports, and it's not a fair comparison because of how they determine their champion. But I mean, as far as college basketball goes, it's the greatest rebuild in the history of college basketball.
Yeah. I mean, from where they were to like where they are, I mean, it's, you know, it is very, very impressive. And look, I think, I would love to see them reach a mountaintop with a different team because that team was one of the best, in my opinion. I mean, it's one of the best teams in my lifetime. I'm 27, and I think just with like the unique nature of those three guards they had, it was pretty special. So yeah, it's something to think about. And I think a lot of Big 12 coaches will always be floated for those jobs. But then you think about the programs they're at. These programs put a lot of money, time, care, effort, everything you'd want into basketball. That's why it's the best basketball conference. So I don't think I would not see a lot of coaches leave. I mean, maybe Jerome Tang would leave because of his spat with the university, but like, I don't think he leaves K-State because, you know, like you'd argue about the difference of the job. Like Jerome Tang's a really good coach, and I think he should stay at K-State because the fans love him. His battle with the administration is what would cost him, obviously. I think cost K-State, which would be bad. But yeah, I think I feel pretty good with all the Big 12 coaches kind of staying where they are.
Yeah. I think one of this interesting, of course, he's not going to be a Big 12 coach, as soon as the season's over. He's essentially an SEC coach, is Rodney Terry. And what happens with him at Texas, their season has been so wonky.
Yeah.
I mean, like it's just, now I didn't expect him to win the Big 12. I thought that they would be in contention for like one of the top three teams, but they have never once played like one of the top three teams in the Big 12. They've had good games, but one of the top teams in the league you know, wins way more than they lose, and they've not done that since conference season started, and they didn't really have that great of a non-conference schedule either.
Yeah, so I think Rodney Terry, like, I thought what he did last year was really impressive, and I don't think he did a bad job this year. It's just Max A. Smith and Tyrese Hunter were super inconsistent, and Tyrese Hunter has been a huge issue for him. He is a very inconsistent offensive player, whether it be number of shot attempts. I mean, you'll like look at his shot attempts sometimes. He'll have some games where he takes a bunch, or some games where he takes four. And I think for them, Dylan Dessou, he has been such a rock. He has been, you could argue, the most consistent player in the league. And what he's done, I think, really elevates the – it makes it more impressive because of everything around him has been so inconsistent. They've just needed him game in and game out. And I was watching them when they played Houston a few weeks ago, and I know Houston beat the brakes off a lot of teams in this league. But, like, we saw Baylor, but Baylor never led until overtime, but still had a shot at regulation, like you mentioned, to win the game. And, like, that's what really good to great teams do. It's like, I mean, that would have been nuts if Baylor won the game, but it speaks to the fact they've got so many good players in the way they play that they are always in games. Always, they've had close losses and close wins, too.
Yeah.
Right? But Texas is not capable of that. Like, Texas got absolutely dog-walked by Houston, and they were not as physical. Their guards just got bodied the entire game. And it turned into one-way traffic in Houston's direction. And that's kind of the thing. Like, whenever Texas needed a win this year, they got it. I think about that Baylor game, they had to get a win. They get the win. And I thought Rodney Terry made a great choice in that game, not calling timeouts. Like, there's a good example of him being a good coach. He's a really good motivator, too. So I don't think they should pull a plug on him at all. And whether they care about basketball at Texas, like, I don't think they should, to be honest. So I think he's fine, but that team has been really – I want to say massive disappointment, but like I think it's hard to say it's not been a disappointing season for them.
Yeah, it absolutely has. Kansas State not going to make the tournament. You know, I don't think it doesn't change.
We think I've seen weirder stuff happen, but I think conventional wisdom.
Yeah, I think they're going to stay on the bubble. They're not going to get off of it. Like, they're just going to, you know, when this thing comes out.
They're a number one seed in the NIT.
Yeah, absolutely. The Naquan Tomlin situation kind of undid their season, for one. And two, look, Jerome Tang rolled in there last year, and getting Keontae Johnson, you know, to commit there and him being healthy and being such a stud helped them out tremendously. They just did not have that kind of offensive firepower this year, but I'm curious to see what he does moving forward. Should he say, I don't think his fight with the administration is as tooth and nail as it thinks, but I do think a message has probably been sent from his side of, hey, like, let's be on the same page about these things moving forward so that it doesn't happen again. And that then I'm not forced to leave a place that I want to be.
Yeah, and they had injuries too that affected them. And the Naquan Tomlin thing was so weird, but like, you look at their problem, they lack depth. Mm-hmm. They really did lack depth. And also, they did not take good care of the basketball this year. Mm-hmm. The Kansas game they won, they could have iced that game a lot earlier, but like, just could not keep the ball. And look, when you kind of, I mean, I love the way he empowers his players. But, like, when you let guys just kind of do their thing and you don't have Keontae Johnson and Marquise Noel, and you've got a little bit, like, a tier below, like, I think Arthur Kaluma is a really good player. They had an awesome year. And then also, you know, I really like watching Tyler Perry play and Cam Carter, but those guys did not take really good care of the ball. Last time, they turned the ball over 20 times. And, like, I always say this, but basketball at some point can become a math equation. If you and the same, you know, you and the other team shoot the same percentage, you know, and you give them the ball 10 more times, they get extra shots, they're going to win the game, probably. So I think they kind of lost the math problem a few times this year, and I think their lack of depth also caused them to get run out of the building a few times. And once again, also, I think they're a team where the non-conference hurt them. I mean, this happened a lot in the Big 12. The non-conference schedule is not very good. I think the conference is good, but I think the non-conference schedule really did hurt a bunch of teams. I think K-State's one of them. And they also did not – the only road game they won in conference, Paul, was the game against West Virginia. Mm-hmm. And that's not a very good win. So they weren't good away from home, and they didn't rack up enough of those. But, I mean, once again, like, I don't think Jerome – I think Jerome Tang did a good job this year, given the circumstances. I just think that this roster with the issues they had, it just kind of ended up them not making the tournament. But like, I think this is going to be one of those where you look at his resume, like Wikipedia page at the end, and it's like, well, that's weird. There's a year they didn't make the tournament. That's really strange.
Yeah.
So no, I think it's going to be the norm.
I agree. All right. So two jobs open in the Big 12 right now, Josh, Oklahoma State and West Virginia. Who do you think fits there the best? I think Mike Borton is going to have one hell of a second act in coaching. It just did not work out for him because of factors outside of his control at Oklahoma State. But I do think he's a really good coach that, you know, he's going to have that like, oh man, like, you know, Oklahoma State's probably going to kick themselves because he's going to win somewhere eventually. And they're like, ah, Lee, if we could have just seen it through the storm with that guy. But I get, like, the last couple of years has just not been right, and they probably need a fresh look at things. And then West Virginia, given the Huggins situation, you know, obviously that's such a strange and bizarre thing that they had to come through. So where do you think each side goes? What kind of coach do you think they should look for?
Yeah, so I would not be surprised if West Virginia – goes after the JMU coach, totally blanking on his name at this moment in time, Mark Byington. Mm-hmm. I think that would be probably pretty smart to do. Although, I'll tell you what, James Madison, this is pretty consistent throughout like all their athletics. Their commitment, they have made some serious commitments to their athletics. They really do care. So, I mean, I think it'll be competitive trying to keep him. I think West Virginia is a program where they are like modern used to winning. And at this point too, Huggins was not though. Like, it wasn't like Huggins was going to Final Fours. Like that Deuce McBride team, in my opinion, massively underachieved. I thought the Culver McBride team should, you know, I think that the kids, Sean McNeil as well. Like that team should have actually made it further. I mean, that's a really good 3-point shooting team that could not be, they looked like they never seen a zone against Syracuse. Like I know this year was really bad, but it wasn't like, and then they lost to Maryland last year. I didn't think Maryland was that good either. It wasn't like this program was like killing it. No, they feel like they should be in the tournament every year. I get that. I think a lot of the names you're hearing, you know, like Dusty May, FAU, you try to throw a lot of him. Abdur-Rahim at USF, obviously, I think you'll get, you know, a pretty good look. If you could swing, and I think this is the, I think Oklahoma State and West Virginia should toss as much cash as they can at these two guys. This guy, Will Wade. If we don't care about somebody's past, here's the thing, honestly, like what Will Wade did now is like actually acceptable. So it's kind of fine. I would go after Will Wade. I mean, it's pretty obvious the guy can just absolutely coach ball. I mean, he shows up at McNeese, and I know they're getting good players too, but like they just run that league, the Southern, I think whatever it is, SoCon Southern Conference. They lost three games. So I would try and get Will Wade because I think he is. I don't think an extension, but like out of the coaches that are out there that makes the most logical move to revisit the Power Five, yeah, I would say Will Wade's the guy I would go after the best. And I want to say on the point about Mike Boyden, when I worked at SiriusXM, he would always come. The only coach who would come on every single week, and he would do and he just got it, and he understood young people, and like he actually cared about young people, and it was invested in like their success as people. And I think him as a pretty, he's only 40, he's in his 40s.
Yeah.
I think he as a young guy understood that. And I always really valued that about him. And also he had to, the NCAA, they treated Oklahoma State, the case was really unfair. The circumstances were really unfair. And all the reception you're seeing online, there's no like, thank God coach is gone. They needed to make a change just to, I think, freshen things up. He had to wear a bad situation. I think he'll get another chance somewhere else. I think he'll do really well somewhere else. And I think that Oklahoma State needed a change of scenery. And I have not seen anything negative about him. And nobody has anything bad to say about him. It didn't go their way. And that is part of the job. But he's young. And I think you're right. I think there's a second act coming for a Mike Boyden.
Look, I'll tell you right now. And it would probably not because of the way he ended Oklahoma State. But as a Florida State alum, if Leonard Hamilton retired tomorrow, and he might. I mean, they're done. Their season's over. But if Leonard Hamilton retired tomorrow and they said, we're going to hire Mike Boynton, I would tell all my friends, hey, don't be mad about this. Like,
yeah,
he's going to be motivated. Like, he can get, like, he got Cade Cunningham. He can get guys. You know,
yes.
You've got NIL. You've got all these things. What happened at Oklahoma State was such a confluence of events outside of his control that he could not ultimately overcome. If the NCAA doesn't randomly pick on him, which, I mean, in the last month, we've seen them completely get castrated.
And remember, he had to go do a meet with them. I think the day before a game, I think they played Kansas.
Yeah,
and he had to go meet with the NCAA the day before that. And it's like, how, you know, out of the blue, I believe too. And it's just ridiculous that he had to deal with that. And they had a ton of roster restrictions too.
Yeah, absolutely. They had they had these roster restrictions. They had all these things happening. If he could have, and that's the thing the NCAA did, he was only going to have Cade for 1 year. Everybody knew that. But had he been able to, based on Cade Cunningham being on that roster, and they had really good players around Cade Cunningham too. They were good. If you remember, they beat Baylor in the Big 12 tournament. It wasn't close. And Baylor won the national championship that year. But had he been able to build the last couple years off of that, like a normal coach would, like any other coach in the Big 12 would have been able to, we wouldn't be talking about this right now. We just wouldn't be talking about it. Bottom line. So
yeah, they play a lot of young guys this year too. Like, yeah. I could see that group getting better and better.
This was the result of all that. This season was like where it all comes. Like every time the credit card payment comes due, this was that for them. Well, Josh, always appreciate it having you on. Let's talk real quick though. I want you to know the CFP, obviously widening gap financially between everybody. Yay, Oregon State and Washington State have been absolutely effed in this financially. They're going to get $350,000 each, which is not enough to fund an athletic department in anything. Like, if you had like a 3-person chess team, it's not even enough for that. just really bad what they got. What are your thoughts on the new format, the way they've gone about it, and what the non-Power 2, Super 2, trademark Craig Smoke, can do going forward?
I think the people in charge of college football are really lucky that the transfer portal and NIL have happened when they did, because all the fans that I know that don't cover, and they have jobs, they have lives, that don't understand, you know, aren't in the nitty gritty the way we are, Paul, they blame NIL and the portal for a lot of the way they feel about college sports, and it's not positive. This is what's wrong. The people who are in charge of college sports are not taking care of it. And I understand there's going to be some kind of financial gap. And I'm not saying the SEC doesn't deserve more, whatever, right? But, like, the SEC wins over the Big Ten. The SEC wins over the Big Ten, but the Big Ten makes the most money television-wise. Those big brands, that's kind of what drives the ship. Mm-hmm. So I get that and I understand that. But if we're going to keep doing this widening gap thing, like, we're basically going towards an NFL model for playoffs. Mm-hmm. That's essentially what we're doing. Mm-hmm. I don't even know why we're going to have conference championship games. It makes no sense. Some of these teams would probably like to have one less game of wear and tear, one less chance to get injured. The conference championship games make money. But, like, that is the real problem. It's not NIL. It's not the portal. It's every decision's being made for money. And here's the problem. You cannot have a situation where these kids are not making money, because the amount of money that is being made off their backs is insane. It is ridiculous. Between ticket sales, between merchandising, between television contracts for both the conferences and the CFP, it is absolutely ridiculous. And I think coach contracts reflected that mostly, right? It's like Josh Heupel makes $9 million. Who are you betting against, Tennessee? Nobody. We just gave him a massive pay raise for no reason at all.
Yeah.
And so I think people are blaming the NIL and the portal for what they feel. No, it's because the people, and it's because USC is about to play Rutgers next year in Indiana, and it's a conference game. And USC is no longer going to play Arizona and Arizona State. They're not going to play Cal and Stanford. And Oklahoma's, and Bedlam's gone now. That's gone. And Texas is not going to play Texas Tech. They're not going to play TCU. They're not going to play Baylor. They're not going to play Houston. They're not going to play any of those schools. They'll play A&M again, again. But also, hey, we're going to go to South Carolina. That feels special, doesn't it? Yeah. No, it, at all. And guess what? Most of the schools involved, all it's going to mean is that your assistant AD is going to make more money now. You know, you're going to have bigger facilities. Great. Well, you're still South Carolina. You're still Missouri. You're still Kentucky. You're still Purdue. You're still Illinois. You're still Indiana. And so I think, like, this gap is going to widen for Big 12 schools that have great fan bases. And honestly, Paul, the fans are going to pay for it, because they're the ones that at schools like Kansas State and Texas Tech are going to be relied upon to help get recruits and help, you know, donate more money to try and compete at the highest level, because the distribution of wealth is going to be such that it's not going to be tenable.
Well, look, I don't think you're also going to be able to, even in the big conferences, because they've got to distribute money where everybody makes it, you're not going to have $3 million a year offensive coordinators anymore. Like, that's over. Because you,
yeah, it's done. That's, yeah, that's done. Like, it's going to quarterback. And again, the kids will be employees here. And like, I mean, yeah, it's coming. I mean, it's absolutely coming.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and look, Craig made that point yesterday of like, you know, look, these two conferences have a bunch, and they've got all the good rivalry games, right? They've got almost all the good rivalry games. You know, the big ones. The problem is they also have a lot of games that nobody gives a crap about. Like, you know, if USC and Indiana played a non-conference game, you know, on September 5th, you know, to start out the year, I might watch that going, all right, you know, I want to see how USC looks, but I'm not going to be like, oh, boy, you know what they say about USC and Indiana. So goes the national championship.
Yeah, watch out when Maryland plays Oregon. That's a huge one. I mean, yeah, like, you better watch the hell out.
That's Under Armour versus Nike, buddy. That's what that is.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. Right. Speaking of brands, right? I mean, that's the biggest, most fun part, because those two schools have nothing in common, right? I mean, besides that.
Yeah. Do you think the CEOs of Under Armour, if they won that game, are going to call, like, suck it, Phil?
Yeah. I mean, them with their ridiculous Maryland flag logos. Yeah. I think, that's the only thing they have for Nike.
Absolutely. Josh, always love it, man. Thanks for hopping on with me today. Josh Neighbors, Big 12 Watch. Go like and subscribe to that channel and to his show so you can see those things every single day.
This has been a Rogue Media Network production.